If you want to save on the most popular PodNuts products, go to our new page at podnuts.com/deals. And while you're there, get on the PodNuts hot list, where you're going to be sent exclusive weekly deals. You're going to get the latest PodNuts news, so you're in the loop. Welcome to PodNuts Daily, episode number 333, the show about computer repair, where computer repair technicians or enthusiasts or somebody who has something to share in the field comes on the show and shares what they want to in the field. I mean, tips, tricks, business ideas, all kinds of stuff. Today, we do have that, and we have some other cool stuff that it's very inspiring, I'll put it that way, and we'll get into it, and I think you guys are going to really enjoy it. So we have a special guest on the show today as well. But first, let me introduce the tech for today's show, Jeremy Lane from FastLanePC.com. What's up, Jeremy?
Hey, how's it going?
Doing very good. How about yourself?
Doing good, thanks.
That's good. So what's been happening? How's business?
Business is going good. It was a little slow a couple of weeks ago, but last week and this week's been really picking up, so I'm excited.
Really? Okay, good.
Usually just dead this time of year, but hey, I'm not complaining. We got Christmas shopping to do.
Yeah, seriously. That's cool. You know, like I say, every show, I'm happy to hear that you guys are busy.
Mm-hmm.
Well, cool. Well, we do, if you guys have not heard Jeremy before, he was on episode 328, I believe, of PodNuts Daily. Go check that
out. Right.
Get more background information on him. Jeremy, who did you bring on the show today? I'll introduce Alan, and then you can tell us how you guys met up. Also joining us is Alan Parrick. I pronounced it right, Alan. Right, Alan?
Yeah, that's perfect.
Okay. From HackedGadgets.com. And Alan did a very interesting thing on the phone with, how can we say, some questionable folks who were trying to scam him. And it's probably something that's happened to most of you guys out there these days. So it's pretty cool. Alan, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
And tell us a little bit about your site, Hacked Gadgets.
Hacked Gadget is you know, a little bit of everything for the enthusiast. It's sort of bent more towards electronic projects and things of that nature. But you know, we feature all sorts of things. You know, from, you know, DIY solar projects to, you know, things that we're going to be talking about today. You know, it's just this is what you're seeing right now is, for example, somebody took an old NES clone and they made it into a they circuit bent it, which basically means, you know, they can play some music with their old NES. So all sorts of different things on that site.
Whoa. How did I not know about this site? This is an awesome site, man.
Thank you.
Yeah. Especially, well, when I saw, and I really realized what this was, a TorchMate CNC cutting machine. It cuts with a torch?
You betcha. That's just an advertiser. But yeah, that's it's a CNC machine with a plasma head on it is what it is.
Wow. Cool stuff. I'm going to definitely give some
make your own
to
custom
this.
Case.
Yeah. I actually built a CNC machine off some with some wood and parts from eBay. And
oh, cool.
It worked. Nice. It actually worked. I could not believe it. I was so happy. But they're awesome because you can just think up anything and then just cut it. I need to see it every time. But I never saw a torch one. That's awesome. Okay, cool. Well, Jeremy, I'll turn it over to you and get us rolling and tell us the story about how you met up with Alan here.
All right. Well, what happened was is we had a phone call. My wife had a phone call here at the office, and they were told her that they were from Microsoft, and that there's a problem with our computer, and that it's sending out viruses and to their server, and they need to have my wife look at it. And she said, "Well, my husband's computer tech. There's no way our computers are going to be like that." And so they persisted, and they're like, no, that's you need it's at your computer. And she says, "Well, we have about 8 computers and, you know, maybe a couple servers, or which computers are coming from?" And like, "Well, it's your computer, the one you're sitting at." And she says, "Well, I'm in the kitchen making cookies. What does it have to do with the computer in front of, and how do you know I'm in front of a computer or not?" And so anyways, long story short, she knew that if I got on there, I would do something crazy. So she just went out and told me, "You know, I think you guys are trying to, you know, hack me. I don't want to mess with it." And they got mad and told her they're not trying to hack. And so she just hung up on them. So they turned around and called her the same thing, called it back, but on the home phone. This was on the office line. And so it was just kind of bothersome to her. So she told me about it. Well, then I had an email that night from a customer, had the same thing happen. And I told her, I said, "Well, it's kind of funny. My wife just had the same problem. You know, I'm not sure. Did you get a number?" Well, she said, yeah. So she emailed me the number. And I went ahead and wrote the number down and kept it. And I thought, maybe I should do like an article on this. One of the things I know with my website, I need to do more content as Google wants. So I'm starting to do a little bit of blogging myself, but nothing major, just some basic stuff. So anyways, then a customer called me up. It was like 3 days, just right in a row, 3 days this happened. My wife first, then this customer. And then I had another customer call me up and she said, was upset. I mean, she's an 8-year-old widow and a really sweet lady. And I have her on my maintenance contract. I was just over there like a month ago. And I told her, I said, what's going on? She says, well, I'm really upset. She says, this company called me up she called a company. I'll take that back. I said, she called a company thinking she was getting HP tech support. So she decided to put in HP .com into her Bing bar, thinking she was going to HP.com. And she got one of those sites that came up and said, HP tech support. She clicked on it and it was some company just like the one that Alan and I are going to talk about.
Really? So they're advertising on Bing even?
Yeah. So that led me to another article I wrote that Google is not the internet. So I basically went through and made people realize where to actually click. That's on my site. I did a little blog on there too. So anyways, so I decided to look into this a little bit more, and I remoted into her computer to see what's going on, and they installed an antivirus over top of her other antivirus, so she had now is running two antiviruses, and I didn't know what was going on with that. So I looked at everything that she had set up and looked at the settings. She said, yeah, they showed me this page with all these things on there, she was upset because her printer still wasn't fixed, but she was upset because here I went in and did a maintenance and got it cleaned up for her, and she showed me all these, she said this company showed them all these things and all these problems on her computer, and she didn't understand because she just paid me money to come and take care of this. So I went through and did a little more research on it, tried to find out, they actually sent her an invoice, they charged her for it. I sent her an invoice and I traced it out. And like I said, this is a different company, but the same concept. They pulled up Event Viewer and showed her that there was errors on there. And they said, yeah, you need our maintenance contract and we need to take care of you and that your tech didn't do a good job. And so I literally got livid. I called up this company because I had a number and I said, this is ridiculous. You realize what you've done is just scammed an 80-year-old widow. Are you okay with that? And they're like, well, what do you mean? We didn't scam anybody. And I told them what had happened. I told them the receipt number. And you didn't. They charged her like $200. And she was upset about that.
Sure.
And they didn't do anything. So I started wanting to, I said, I'm going to write an article about this on my blog. This would be good content. And, it was resolved. I basically, my wife said she hasn't been that mad in a long time. I basically, just told them, I said, you will take care of this. You will refund her money. And you will take care of my customer. Otherwise, I'm going to call the credit card company for her and they're going to come after you. And they said, no, we'll take care of it. Just have her send us an email that'll refund the money and we'll take care of it. So I started looking into it and I Google searched for all the information she gave me. The second customer gave me with the phone number. And that's how I came across across Alan's site. And I really liked his article. He basically did a whole video about everything that I just talked about. And so you can see as a tech, step by step, what is happening to your customers. The other thing I liked about was Alan's integrity. I like how he didn't, talk to this person and cuss him out. And then they start laughing like, that crazy orange, YouTube video guy thing where that little orange thing is. And, laughing at him and making fun of him, but he actually said, hey, do you realize what's going on? Do you realize what you're doing? I think he handled it very well. And that's why I wanted to, maybe think and get him on here, because one of his things he put in his articles, he wanted to get that information out here about what's happening to people and wants it to be exposed. So I think he did a good job in that. And so I thought I'd like to have his perspective on it. Maybe instead of him telling me and then telling you guys about it, I think it'd be better to hear it straight from him what he did. And I think you guys would really appreciate that.
Sure. Alan, you want to tell us your story about what happened?
Yeah, you bet. So a very similar thing to what happened to Jeremy's wife happened to me. I was actually having lunch upstairs on the at the kitchen table, and these guys called and said that, they've been receiving all sorts of errors and warnings from my computer. And, one thing that they didn't say is that they're Microsoft. Now, of course, in the event log, that's never going to be sent to Microsoft. So I knew, immediately that there was something kind of funny here, but I wanted to sort of see where this was going to go. So I went downstairs to the computer and, I was willing to poke around a little bit and, he showed me the event logs and, he was quite over the top with his explanations, that these are, malicious, malware and things like that. And, So, you know, I knew that he was lying.
Yeah. Well, anybody doesn't know. He makes you go to the event viewer and look at all the red, the events or errors that happen, and have a red mark next to him. So it actually looks like to a noob that it's a virus or something bad if somebody tells you that, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Okay. And you know, they were quite, you know, they were sort of, you know, they obviously expecting to see things there, but,
of course,
you know, almost sort of, you know, proving their point that, that, you know, my system was sending them some things. And I was just going to leave it at that. And then he asked me if I was the owner of the computer. And I'm thinking I was just actually recording something. So I had a microphone sitting beside me, and and I figured, well, maybe I'll tell him I'm not and have him do the spiel again. And maybe I'll just record it so other people can sort of, you know, hear this and get, you know, if they're going through the same thing, they can hear what the spiel is and maybe hear how it ends, you know, which is, you know, badly, right?
Right.
And so I just, I said, I'm not the owner, but my brother is, he's right here. I hit record and I pretended to be, you know, my brother. Nice. And so he went through the whole spiel again. And that's basically how it started.
And so you recorded the whole call on your site?
Yeah, I recorded the whole, and it's basically, it was in two parts. I recorded the whole initial call, which, you know, they have you attempt to, you know, have them connect to your computer through either LogMeIn or TeamViewer. And, you know, I didn't obviously, I wasn't prepared for him to connect to my computer. So, you know, I went to that site and I just sort of pretended that, oh, my internet connection's down and, you know, I have Wi-Fi through my neighbor's house and this and that, just to sort of, you know, make it seem plausible, but, you know, make it seem warranted that we attempt this at a later date. And so basically what I did is I set up a virtual machine and I set up Camtasia so I could actually record what they were doing and what they were, you know, audio and video. So I called them up when I was all set up and I recorded what they did, you know, how they connect with LogMeIn and, you know, what they actually do to, you know, attempt to show you that your warranty, well, apparently to them, your warranty is expired and, you know, they're the white knights willing to help you out.
So they logged in with LogMeIn?
Yeah, they did. And then, you know, the funny thing is, so, you know, I've been using computers for years. And so I know a lot of the, you know, the DOS commands like, you know, tree and things like that. And so the funniest thing was they actually ran a tree command, you know, which shows you the entire directory structure of your machine. So, you know, all this text scrolls by and then somebody either typed or maybe they have a script that types this in, but it basically says, you know, at the command line that your warranty has expired. and then it's funny how they make it seem that, you know, this is some, you know, some huge sort of very secure thing where when you're talking to the technician, you know, he's saying that he's connecting you to, and this is the other funny thing is, you know, there's Microsoft certified people, you know, Cisco also has a certified, a certification, but they always refer to their technicians as Microsoft Cisco certified as if it's one organization and one certification, which I just, you know, thought that was really funny. And so what they do is, you know, the guy on the other end obviously had his speakers on. And, so when you connect with LogMeIn, it has a little chime and he's saying that, you know, this guy you're talking to is actually sort of the middle guy who's attempting to connect you to one of their, you know, technical department people in another area of the building.
Right.
Yet when you connect with LogMeIn, I can actually hear the chime over the phone, which is quite odd. And then, you know, so they go through their thing and they want to help you out by extending your warranty. And they, you know, they have all these warranty plans and it's funny, like Jeremy was saying, you know, they do treat this like, you know, like a business and they, you know, they sound legitimate, you know, but just their whole premise of getting your business and snagging you is just all wrong, you know?
Oh, totally. And they're just straight up lying to you.
Oh, definitely. And, you know, so for example, the machine they were working on was a virgin copy of XP in a virtual machine. So, you know, it didn't have, it wasn't, you know, connected to the internet before, so it didn't have any viruses or any issues whatsoever. And, you know, the first thing they did is install a registry cleaner, which, you know, same thing. It gives you a lot of, you know, screen candy with a lot of, you know, things scrolling by and, you know, it looks like it's doing something, right? But, you know, it was a fresh install of Windows, so it didn't need any registry cleaning to begin with.
Now, what registry cleaner did they use?
It's in the video. I can't recall what it was.
And the registry cleaner, like at this point, like they didn't ask you to pay anything. They just wanted to show you that you were infected.
Well, and here's the other thing I did. So I didn't want to actually, you know, pay them any money, obviously.
Right.
So, you know, as I develop software, and so as a software developer, you know, doing validation tests is something that's often required. And so I logged on to a site that gives you, you know, the different sequence of numbers for credit cards, as well as, you know, test credit card numbers you can use to, you know, pass validation. So I just wrote down a few of those, you know, valid card sequences, which were just, you know, test numbers, and used those as, you know, as my sort of as my card number. And of
wow.
course, it failed because it's not a valid card, but it sort of, you know, gives them the feeling that, okay, well, this guy is serious. He's actually writing, he is typing in his credit card number and giving us all this information. And so, you know, they were quite convinced that I was serious about moving forward and actually eventually paying for this. So, you know, I was quite surprised that they were actually willing to do a lot of the work before I actually paid for it.
Really?
Which is what they did. Yeah.
Wow. This is cool. You have anything for him so far, Jeremy? You want to ask?
Oh, no. I think he's right on step by step with what he's talking about. And you can see the video. He's got three parts on there you want to check out. The first one I probably just jumped through. You know, bits and pieces. He did a great job at making key points of where things happen. But you can see the tech on the screen. The other thing I liked is that he actually treated the guy with dignity. That's why I liked that what Alan did. He didn't, you know, wasn't a jerk to him or anything. But he made it very clear when you watch this, if you care about anybody, especially your customers or even this person on the phone, you realize this person on here is just doing a job. And so I think it's interesting that it actually makes you feel sorry for this guy that's on the phone doing what he thinks is, you know, maybe some kind of service or even a disservice. But the irony thing is that the report we got on the show today, Alan emails me and that he put a third video on there because they recently called him back again. So that one to me is like, okay, they're asking for it this time. So he did a good job. Again, was very respectful, but
wait a minute.
The point that, hey, you know, really, seriously, come on, guys. And at the end, I think my favorite part is where they put a little porn video pulled up on their porn site. I guess they're, you know, I told Alan, I'm not sure what the reason was, if they're basically either giving the middle finger or if their point is they're trying to go through and make it so he can't put it on YouTube. But Alan did a great job by covering that so that it's not a big deal. So my favorite part on the original video is I love the fact that he brilliantly used OpenDNS to block their credit card payment site so they couldn't go through and do it. And it kept the video going because you can see the links these guys are willing to go through to take advantage of your customers.
Right.
And he did a great job playing the part of, you know, kind of the non-user friendly user that doesn't know what they're doing. Took his time typing. So he made it very realistic. And my wife sat in my lap watching it and we were cracking up laughing the whole time. And she's not very techy, but she loved seeing how he handled it. And he did a great job.
That's awesome. And yeah, I actually want to play. I started watching it, Alan. And then I realized how long it was, and I'm like, I got to sit down and watch this like a movie. So I was going to get all ready and like put it on like a podcast and just listen to it myself and watch it. But so how many hours is it total of all
the
videos?
Well, it's kind of crazy. And so it's basically about 8 hours of video for all three of the videos. Yeah, it's really long. The first one was about 1 hour. And the second video is actually 6 hours long. But of course, a lot of that is them actually, you know, fixing in air quotes my computer, where they're trying all sorts of things. And also like Jeremy was saying, you know, they're I did a little bit of playing with OpenDNS and stuff, so they couldn't actually process my card and things like that. So there's a lot of sort of, you know, a little bit of hijinks there also.
Oh, that's awesome. And, you really seem like you were quick thinking with this. I mean, you have credit cards to pull out, numbers you pull out. You have messing with OpenDNS. Like, you were really on top of it with this.
Well, and this was over a number of days. And, And, you know, some things like OpenDNS was you know, going to be my way of, you know, telling him who I am and maybe having them sort of, you know, just get a little bit upset and maybe think twice about doing this on people again. But they were quite, I don't know, going after the money as such a carrot where they didn't even see a lot of the blatant things. Like, for example, one of the things that the OpenDNS page, whenever they went to a payment page, it would actually... they told me at that point that their name was Global IT. So what I actually had is the blocking page on Global or on OpenDNS would actually have a small logo that said Global IT, and it actually said, you know, for any technical any technical issues, please call this number, which was their number. So I figured they would see this and go, oh, okay, well, this guy got it. And leave it at that. But they just kept on going.
Really? So you let them just go for hours where you weren't necessarily contributing to the conversation, just letting them quote fix your computer.
Correct. Yeah. I was, you know, it was running. I was, you know, sort of just with an eye watching what they're doing. But oftentimes I was, you know, doing my own work and you know, emails and whatever else.
What were some of the things they were doing to quote fix your computer?
Well, a lot of it was trying to get around the OpenDNS thing. You know, just to sort of, you know, attempt to get my payment. And other things were, you know, they were trying to install antivirus. And, you know, one of the things is this XP version was extremely old and it hadn't had any of the updates done, you know, the standard Windows updates.
Was it like Service Pack 1 or before that?
It was before Service Pack 1, no service packs
wow.
at all. And, you know, so they're trying to install, you know, like the free version of AVG, and they're trying to install, you know, the whatever that new Windows free one is. And of course, nothing would install because it doesn't have any service packs. It's so old. And they didn't once attempt to update that.
That is amazing. That probably would have, they probably felt like it would have taken them too long or something. I don't know.
Probably. Yeah. Like a couple times in the last video, I was actually having some problems with the, dynamic resizing of the virtual disk. So I actually had to grab a new image of a virtual machine. And so I told him just to, you know, get some additional time. I said, I'm just rebooting here. And, you know, that was like, you know, you could tell he's like, no, don't reboot because, you know, that takes time, you know, and I guess they just want to get in, get out as quick as possible.
So that's probably why they didn't want to run the updates. If they reboot, could they get back in? I know in Log Me In you can, but...
Yeah, okay. They were able to a few times, and the other really funny thing that that you know really got them was they would install something and then they would reboot and come back in. But this one time they actually you know hung the system up, and what they're apparently going to do as part of their maintenance is actually bring you up to Windows 8. And I was thinking, huh, I wonder how they do this, you know, and so. I saw the guy, and it's in the video. He actually installs a skin pack, a Windows XP skin pack that makes it look like Windows 8.
Wow!
But I guess you know, since there was no service packs installed on this version of Windows XP, it actually corrupted the system and prevented it from booting again. So, you know, at that point, they were like, you know, their hands are sort of tied and they're like, very sorry. You'll have to bring that to a local technician to fix.
They said that to you?
That's right. Yeah.
That's kind of how it ended?
No, that was sort of at the beginning or in the middle. And so what I did is the next day I called them back and I said, yeah, I took it to a local technician. He charged me $200. And of course, you know, I just... made another copy of the virtual machine. and he says, oh, okay, well, what we'll do is we'll discount your 15-year service plan. We'll discount it by a few hundred dollars to make that up to you.
Oh, wow. The 15-year lifetime plan, right?
What?
Yeah, 15-year lifetime.
You got to watch the video. Basically, he at one point he says it's a 15-year plan. Then he says it's a lifetime plan. Then he says, yeah, it's discounted. You get the lifetime plan for the 15-year price. So it's like he's dancing around even what he said.
Wow.
And there's like $400 for the lifetime or something like that.
Yeah, that's right. And one of the crazy things is, you know, they're total scam artists, but then they stick to some points of their spiel, which I couldn't understand. Like, you know, I, you know, he goes, oh, that's for any three machines you want on this plan. We'll take care of those for 15 years. And so I said, well, what if I have more than three machines? Oh, no, sir, that's only for three machines. So, like, I don't know why he wouldn't just lie and say, oh, well, for you, we'll do as many machines as you want, right, or something like that. But, right, you know, they stick to some of their guns there, which I'm surprised.
That's interesting. Like, because you mean, like, instead of trying to make more money from you, you're wondering why? I guess it's because they're safe with that, right? If they skew too far off the patter, they're probably going to not be able to know what to say, and maybe they expose themselves.
Well, they also offered things, if I remember correctly, like, you know, free music and free movies and all kinds of, like, free software. And so he didn't get very far into that because he wouldn't go any further. And then at the end, he questioned many things. Then he denies it. Says, I never said that. And he's like, well, what do you mean? And so he did a good job with that. I really did. Like, wow, what he said.
This is cool. Now, how, in the final analysis in the end here, what was your total payment that you were supposed to pay these guys? Like, what was going to be the total, I guess, before they realized they were being scammed?
Yeah, well, what they were doing is, initially it was going to be I think it was $399, but then since I had to bring my computer to the local technician, they were going to give me the 15-year plan for the 5-year price, which I think was $239 or $269, something like that.
Okay. Wow. All the time and effort these guys put into this, and they could probably actually get real jobs done,
right,
and become real technicians.
Well, and like Jeremy says, you know, I think they are, you know, junior technicians that are, they know how to install some programs, they know how to run antivirus and things like that. And, you know, so I think they have some limited knowledge, and unfortunately, I think that is their actual job, you know, like the people doing the grunt work, you know, I don't think they're the masterminds behind it. I don't think they get the money. I think they're just doing their job, you know, which is quite sad, but I think that's the truth.
Well, I just hope they're not future Microsoft employees that they're going to be. There's a call center in India or something like that, or Dell call center. That'd be bad.
Right. That's the thing. Yeah. These guys knew they were doing bad, right?
Right.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, That's interesting. So I don't know if I would give them respect that Alan did. If they knew that they're doing something wrong, I don't think they deserve that. But and the respect of, but and you know, if you want to lead them along and waste as much time as possible of theirs, then this is fine. Totally go with it.
Well, that's why I think it's really cool the way he did it, because, like I said, us as techs can get down there and watch his video and see exactly what they do.
Yeah.
Because I was curious, because like my one customer that said she showed him a screen that had a bunch of, you know, errors on it. I'm thinking, what did he pull up? And so I'm looking for like fake screenshots or something like that. And, you know, I'm looking for the programs that he ran. And then I saw EventView. I'm like, nah, surely he didn't do EventView. I didn't think anything about that. And then when I saw Alan's site, the video, I'm like, oh, so they did. So I pulled up on my machine. I was like, oh, wow, it does show all this. This is what my customer saw. And right, then when I saw her and I asked her, I said, is this what you saw? She said, oh yeah, that's exactly it. I explained what it was. And she felt so bad. So I ended up fixing her printer when it came all said and done. It was just basically she put the cartridge in backwards. And, you know, again, this 80-year-old widow. And that part really, you know, trying to be nice, really ticked me off that here's this sweet, innocent 80-year-old woman who's very trusting gets scammed by a company similar to Global IT. This other one, I made a link on my site to the other company that scammed this customer. And so hopefully other future customers can avoid this site too.
Totally. Yeah, it's really good that you did this, Alan and Jeremy. It's really good that you spotted this, wrote a blog yourself, and got Alan on. I mean, as much, you know, as much information as we can get out about this, I think it's definitely what's needed. Not that non-techs watch this show. Like, this show is not going to directly help an 80-year-old widow who is getting called right now, but at least with the techs having this knowledge, they could probably be more effective.
Yeah, I think in an earlier podcast, so somebody talked about it, but I don't really remember any of the details. I was like, yeah, I've never heard of that. And then when it started happening, like literally 3 days in a row, I was like, holy cow. Right. Okay, how many people are being called by this? And that's why I started Google searching, trying to find more information on it. And for me, my article, Alan's article, was instrumental in how I wrote mine, because it just kind of shared what he did, what I did, and that, you know, hey, we're not the only one out there. And I did see some other sites out there that had talked about different other companies doing the same thing, and they referred to the same phone number, but they didn't do, in my opinion, do as well of a job as Alan did, in my opinion.
Yeah, it looks like you did a great job, Alan. Well done on this. Now, what did you want to accomplish with this, just to make it known?
Initially it was my own curiosity, and it sort of just evolved from that over time. And so in the end, you know, it was get them wrapped up as much as possible and spend as much time so they're not doing this to other people. Right. And I also wanted to, you know, sort of put them through all their paces so I could document, you know, what they are doing so that, you know, other people can look at this and learn from it if it's happening to them.
It's very cool. And thanks for doing it. Now, is there anything that we missed on this, guys? Any points you want to cover or comments or key points about this before we go on to anything else that you guys want to go over? Jeremy?
Let me see. I think that was pretty much it. Like I said, I was expecting him to use profanity or just kind of, you know, laugh at him cheesily and say, ha ha, we got you. But I like the way he handled it, and I'll be looking at his on Alan's site a lot more for other things he puts on there, since I like the way he does things and the style that he writes, and it's pretty straight to the point. I like it.
Yeah, very cool. You definitely check out hackedgadgets.com. Alan, anything else you want to add to this before we go over to Jeremy?
Just one piece of comedy.
Yes.
In sort of looking over what the company is all about, you know, the globalpcprotection.com is their website. I found that they actually were operating a different company name before this. I guess, you know, after a while, they get known, right, and they sort of have to move on.
Yeah.
And so I found that consultpcexperts.com was actually one of their previous company names. And so I just did a quick who is, just to sort of see if I could find any address information or anything of that nature. And I found that the domain had expired. They didn't re-register it.
Yes.
So of course I registered it.
You did?
You betcha.
Oh man, that's awesome.
Yeah, I forgot about that. That's hilarious. That's right.
Now if you do a search for global PC protection on Google,
which I did, and that's how I found it out.
That's right. Yeah, I think it's the second one right after theirs, with, you know, all this information about, you know, that they are scammers. So,
really? That's so awesome. Well done.
Yeah, thank you.
I'm trying to pull it up on my desktop. It's not cooperating. Cool. Alan, why don't you, do you want to stay on the line with us? We'll go over some computer repair stuff and some email questions, and you could probably help us out with some of this.
Yeah, sure. Sounds good.
Okay. All right, Jeremy, what do you want to talk about today?
Well, like I talked about earlier, one of the things I had to redo was my website. Nothing that Steve did. His pack is great. But when you want to get a little bit bigger and do a little bit more out there, I think you have to kind of add some more things. I think you're going to revise that, aren't you, Steve?
Yes, in a couple of weeks, it should be out and done.
Excellent. Good. So basically, I had Leaf Glass gave me a hand. And Leaf, thanks, man. You're awesome. Leaf's been so helpful and everything. I've been listening to the other pods, not show, and he's been on there for the round table or whatever you call it now. And so Steve's just doing a really great job in the community. I really appreciate him, what he's doing. But he helped me get basically it's the same template that he's doing. I did a WordPress site and just made it pretty basic. And that way I can add content. Matter of fact, I even took some of his terminology, and he said, hey, go for it. The little Zopim thing, I'm trying that. I can't quite figure that out completely, but you know, I'm learning.
Zopim, for those of us who don't know, what is that?
Oh, that's that like instant messenger thing that comes up on your site. I know Lisa talked about it here a while back, and Leaf, they both talk about that program. It's free. And basically, it's set up so like if a customer goes to your site, it'll pop up and let you know somebody's on there. And I kind of figured out how to make it go to my cell phone. That's how Leaf has it set up, and I can't get it to quite work right. So I don't know. I'll figure it out. It's not really a high priority, but it's one of those things that's be kind of cool to have on there. So if a customer gets to your site and you need to see that, you can see where they're from. So if it says, hey, they're from my location, which is Colorado Springs, Colorado, and I can say, hey, can I help you with anything? But if it's, you know, from Indiana or something like that, you know, it's probably just a bot or something like that. It doesn't really tell me anything.
Right.
But the cool thing is it's really easy to interact with. So, like I said, I might just have set mine up wrong, but again, it's not a rush. Another thing Leaf has pointed me to is he's doing an online backup with companies as a reseller. And he's, you know, happy with some of the features and want to try some other features. And he pointed me to a company called LiveDrive, and I'm reselling for them. I just started that. They're out of London, out of the UK. So some major corporations, if you try to sell to them, it may be an issue because some of the privacy policy, they can't send anything overseas because the UK laws are a little different. But the cool thing is I get a person to talk to. When I called them up, they were very friendly, very helpful. It's just I have to call them before 11 o'clock my time in the morning. Otherwise, they're closed for the day because they close at 6. But their package, basically, if you can either do $60 a month with a $159 setup fee, or you can pay for 1 year up front, which is what I chose to do, for $600 a year, and you can sell unlimited. It's unlimited backup, unlimited computers, and I'm basically selling mine for $15 a month. I got 4 customers to basically pay for my setup. So I said, hey, you're guinea pigs. Would you mind giving me a shot? They're customers that I trust, and they're friends too. So I got them set up. They signed up for a year, $15 a month. So it's $180 a year. So basically between 4 of them, I paid for the service, and I'm trying it too. The other feature I like about the Live Drive is that it will work on some servers. I'm running a Windows Home server, and it will work on that. The only downside is I have to be logged into an account. So it's not a big deal. All I did is I threw a monitor and a mouse and keyboard on my server and just basically shut the monitor off and let it back up. But it's been doing great. I mean, I've uploaded probably 700 gig in the last 3 weeks and no problem. So it's been working really well. And I've got other customers. The only one I'm having one to test it with, he's a photographer. So he literally has a Drobo with over 10 terabyte of information. So we've been trying little pieces at a time, little chunks, but he's using an Apple Mac Mini as kind of the head for the Drobo. So it's a map drive and it works fine. And it does support that.
Unlimited backup?
Unlimited backup, yep. So we started setting it up and there is some minor glitches with the Apple software, the application that goes on the Mac. So we're going to wait till they get that bug worked out. And then we're going to try it again. So we uploaded, I think, 100 gig just to try it. And he was pleased with it, but just want to make sure it's stable. So once we get that one bug worked out, they're supposed to release an update either this week or next week. And then I'll get back over there and we'll finish up and test it from there. So, I'm paying the 1 year upfront rate, which is $600 a year. So basically anything over $600 that I charge, I make that year as a profit. So once I feel stable, once I feel confident about the product, I'll go ahead and start advertising to my customers via email and let them know I'm going to start doing that. Right now, it's on my site. It's kind of more informational. But other than that, it's not anything I'm going to sign people up right away unless they really want it and let them know, hey, we're still working on the bugs with it. And so that's why I went to people I trust.
How much would it cost a customer per month?
I'm charging $15 a month for unlimited. They can go to LiveDrive themselves and purchase it for like $7.95 a month, unlimited computers, unlimited backup. They can do that for the $8. But the benefit they're getting is they're talking to me. They're right. Calling somebody here, and then I can handle anything that they have. And I'm also setting it up for them. So anything I can remote in, if they make any changes or settings or tweaks, anything they need, most of my customers, I can just remote into their system and say, check it out, see what's going on. And they say, hey, you know, worst case scenario, if it's not working right, I'll call Live Drive in the morning and we'll get back to you, take care of it. So they don't have to call them up and talk, you know, geek and stuff like that. They can just actually just have me handle it for them. So that's what they're basically paying for by charging that. And I've looked at other pricing. Basically, if you go to the Carbonite, what used to be called the Pro was most of my customers who were on it, the ones that actually have done my $15 a month, they're paying about $50 to $75 a month for about 75 gig of backup. And,
50 to 75?
Yeah, they charge more for the business package. Now they're doing Carbonite Business, which is 150 gig a year, I think, something like that, for like $229 a year is what they're charging, $229. So I figure I'm beating them at $15 a month or $180 a year for unlimited backup, unlimited PCs. The other thing is if most of my residential customers, they usually have 2 or more PCs. So I figure at $15 a month, I'll charge, I'm actually pretty much breaking even with Carbonite if they had 2 home user accounts.
I got you.
One thing I don't like about Carbonite, I did try to call the tech support or the service because I was looking at, you know, doing, before I talked to Leaf, about doing my own backup. And if I could be a reseller, what would they do? Well, I was literally on hold for 30 minutes until I hung up just for sales, not tech support, but sales with Carbonite.
That's not good.
So I'm like, no, I'm not going through this. So that's when I started talking to Leaf about it, and we got went net route. So
cool. I'm not a fan of Carbonite either. I tried to sign up with an affiliate account for them,
yes,
sort of to promote their product, and they declined me. And I actually took it a little personally, because what better audience to
right.
be an affiliate to promote their stuff than some, like a podcast like this?
Yeah, agreed.
Very short-sighted, stupid, and whatever.
And they also have another thing on there, too, that explicitly doesn't say, but you have to kind of delve into it on Carbonite. They do say that it is unlimited, but the idea is they only support the hard drive attached to your that's in your computer. They don't support any attached hard drives, right. like USB backup hard drives like that. They don't support anything like the Windows Home Server. They won't support that. That's right. actually going to be a business account, which is the $230 a year. They also, you can look in their wording also, they basically will let you upload 100 gig of data without any throttling. And then they start to throttle it at between the 100 and 200 gig mark. And it says right in there that after that, it says, a little asterisk, a little fine print says, if you go above, I think it was 200 gig, that your significant upload speeds will be varied or something like that.
I see.
So that's why I decided not to go with them. I said, no, I'm not doing this. I'm not going to do this. I want to do something my customers are not going to be throttled. So all these things I called and talked to, I talked to the same person, Ian Burgess is his name or something like that. The same guy I talked to every time on the reseller through LiveDrive. Call up tech support. Hey, this is Jeremy. Hey, Jeremy, how you doing? I remember that, he kind of remembers who I am, which is nice.
Good.
I said, hey, this is what I'm looking at. These are the issues Carbonite has. And he said they're familiar with Carbonite. And I told him, why should I go with you? And he basically put these same things out, and he showed me the Carbonite site where they sell these things. This is why we're a little bit better. And I said, I totally get it. So I am thinking about offering a second tier package for people who mainly have maybe one computer, maybe do $10 a month. But then one thing that this reseller program allows you to do is you can't actually select how much backup they have. So I'm thinking about maybe doing a 1 terabyte for $10 a month, and
right.
then kind of make it a little bit cheaper. But I don't know. I'm still trying to work out all the bugs on the contract. I've used, I'm actually using part of, the package I got. What was his name? The book that I bought. I can't think of his name. Dan. Yeah, from Acrobo.
Dan Hand.
Dan Hand. I looked at his contract, but his is more I think geared toward business. So I tried to rewrite right. it a little bit and tweak it since I bought it with the book. But I'm really not getting anywhere on it. I'm having a couple of customers look at it who are paying for it right now. They're looking at it and see what they think about the contract. So I need to write it better. I need to figure out a way to make that look good.
Okay.
So. But anyways, that's kind of what I got going on there. The other thing is, like I said, I have some tips on my site that I'm starting to do. Kind of one of the things we talk about, what are the programs that I use? We usually talk about this, Pod Nuts, what techniques do you use? What programs do you use? How do you clean up? I basically put out an article on there. I have something that all my customers get. It's called Toolbox. And I've been doing it for several years, and it's convenient for my customers. So I say, hey, just go to your toolbox, and it's a folder on their desktop with links to all the tools that I use. So why everyone needs a toolbox, you can check that out, and you'll see exactly what I do as far as what programs I use. I put links on there, and even specifically how I do it. So it's pretty cool, and I'm thinking about going through in details on how to run each of those tools for customers who don't want my monthly maintenance or my maintenance package and want to just do kind of their own thing. So, and at least they'll have step-by-step how to do it on their own. So they're saving some money, but at least I'll make time to show how to run each of those programs individually.
Now, why are you putting these articles on your site? What do you hope to get from this?
I'm hoping to get, traffic to my site for people who, basically weed out the people who don't want to pay. They'll come to my site, they'll get some of the stuff that they want to do. They can try it themselves. And then if they get stuck, they'll call me. That's right. What I'm kind of looking at doing.
I gotcha.
So I'm kind of trying to keep it as two kind of techniques. I'm going to do news and tutorials. Tutorials is more of for those who want to do the do-it-yourselfers. And then the news is going to be kind of information things like they did with on Google Music, just to kind of vary it. So just to drive a little more traffic. So
gotcha. Very cool. And the site looks great. So
thank you.
Well done.
Thank you. And it was Leaf helped me a lot. I really appreciate Leaf's help, like I said.
Because
I had no idea how to use WordPress. And
yeah.
I'm not fluent in WordPress, but I can at least speak it now. So another thing I was going to talk about is I talked about a PC helper last time with Doug. He's a local computer guy. And I turned him on to the show, and he really liked it. He said, but the first show he listened to was the one that I was on there, so it's kind of cool. So we're looking at partnering and doing some work together.
Sweet.
Some the idea, because we're both small business, his concern is, you know, if he goes out on vacation, who's going to, you know, take care of his customers? And same thing with me. So it's kind of hard to want to get bigger accounts, because if you need to be there 24/7, you can't go anywhere. You're married to him. And so one of the things we did is he gave me a trial run during Thanksgiving. He went skiing, I think, with his family. And he said, hey, my customer's going to call you. And I told him straight up, hey, what I won't do is I won't take your customers. What they'll do is they'll call me and I'll take care of them that week. And he said, you know, just go ahead and charge your regular rate and I'll just refer them to you. And then I took care of his customers. And then I had a couple call me back the following week. I said, hey, Doug's back in town, call him. And so I just want to have integrity and do the right thing, you know, and I expect him to do the same thing for me when I'm out of town.
Yeah, that's going to go a long way for you. It's nice to have somebody there in your local area you could trust.
Yeah, so we're kind of hitting that off. So one of the things we're looking at doing is there's a window cleaning service that we're looking at doing together to maintain their computers. Maybe I'll take half the computers, he'll take the other half, and we'll do remote access. And they want to be maintained. And they have a local company here that's kind of, they feel like they've been done wrong by. And so they're kind of interviewing a couple of us. And they like the fact that there's two different companies they can depend on instead of just one. So I think we might get the job. We'll find out on this coming Monday.
Very cool.
And so we're excited about that. That'd be kind of nice. And we're starting looking at hitting some larger accounts too, but we're gonna take it step by step, see how we work together. And you know, I didn't kind of jump in there and we'll make it happen. It'll be fun. And like I said, Doug and I've met and went to a coffee shop, chatted with him. And I think both of us have the same mentality as far as work goes, the way we treat our customers, the way we treat each other, you know, just straight up things. And I like the way his work ethic.
Very good.
So he's been enjoying Pod Nuts. He's been listening to them, and so he's been turned on to it also.
Oh, great. Thanks for doing that.
Yeah, absolutely. So I had a couple of questions that I wanted to see if I can get some feedback on. If anybody's willing to shoot me an email, they can shoot me an email at support@fastlanepc.com or just use the form on my website. I had a situation I tried to deal with. Had a problem with Internet Explorer and Firefox. Chrome was okay and Safari was okay on a Windows XP machine. I had two machines, two different customers, same problem. It wasn't showing images on some sites. For example, like on MSN.com, the homepage there, there's a little the little forward, pause, and back button that's on there for like their articles. They're coming up as blue squares. Then you go to Bing, and Bing is just a big black square with white background. You can't bring up the image. So I thought, well, maybe because it's using Silverlight or maybe one of the runtimes like Silverlight or Java. So I uninstalled it, reinstalled it, still no issue. But the weird part was, the weird part was I could turn on their guest account, go to the guest account, go in there, and all the sites are fine. So it's something with that account. So what I ended up doing for both the customers, I said, hey, you know what? This is what I'm stumped on. I've looked online. I've Google searched for it, found no support, no help, no errors, nothing. So I couldn't figure out how to resolve it. So what I did is I just went in and created a new account, transferred all their files over, and they just set it up that way. It was the only way I can get that resolved so they can at least be able to view images correctly on website. So that's the first question.
I'm curious about that too. I have the product I'm trying to sell is the my podcast videos, and been working on that site and marketing it and stuff. And I just checked it the other day on Internet Explorer and none of the graphics came up on the top third of the page. I'm like, oh, you gotta be kidding me. So I don't know if it's happening on Firefox. I haven't checked it because it just happened last night, but it's had a podcast.biz. Nothing is coming up on Internet Explorer. I don't know if it's happening on everybody's Internet Explorer, but I'm like, that's a first because I could have sworn it used to work. So I'm interested in the answer to that question too. Let Jeremy know.
Yeah, let me know. The other thing is that a customer called me up. I couldn't get to him right away, and they called another shop, and they referred him to a site. It's iobit.com. It's called Advanced System Care. I've never heard of it, but she said that she put it on her computer and resolved the issue. It's an all-in-one system utility. I'm personally not a fan of them. You know, to me, when I see something like this, I think of, you know, speedupmypc.com commercial or something like that. That's probably just nothing but junk. But I did see it's gotten good reviews from majorgeeks.com, cnet.com, ZDNet, PCMag. They all gave them good reviews. So, they said it's a good product. So, but there's a free version of it. They do offer free tech support with an 800 number. So I have no anything. I've never heard anything about it. So if anybody's ever used it and they think it's a good product, I'd love to hear feedback on that. If anything is bad with it, love to hear that too. You know, it might be a good program to maybe throw on my blog or something like that and say, hey, you know, instead of calling me right away, if you're timid, you know, about, you know, not wanting to pay my price, try this product and see if it works. And maybe that might be a quick, easy thing for them. It is shareware, so I might be able to contact them. If it is work good product, maybe I can have IOBIT. Maybe they'll do like a reseller program or a referral or something like that. I'll get a kickback or something like that. So
cool.
Just a thought. So those are the two things I wasn't sure about. And then thought maybe I was trying to find some tips to write down this week, and I couldn't come up with anything. I had actually had more questions than tips. So
that's cool. It's all good. Awesome. Well, thanks for that stuff. Do you want to ready for emails now, or you have anything else?
Just one little thing. Sure. I wanted to tease you. You're always talking about cats, and some people have pets on there. I have a new mascot. I'm sitting I work out of my garage. I'm sitting in my garage right now, and it was a rainy day a couple weeks ago, raining really hard, and my garage door was open. It was literally late at night. And I look on the ground, and there's a little like lizard looking thing on the ground. And so I picked it up and looked at it, and I Google searched for the images and found out what's called a barred tiger salamander. So I kind of dubbed it as the Fastlane Technologies mascot, and because it's black and yellow like my logo.
What's the name of it? Barbed?
It's a barred, B-A-R-R-E-D, tiger salamander. And they actually make good pets. They live up to 20 years. And so the cool thing is I had my window open. We had another rainy day, and it came through my window, and I thought the one got out. So I threw it. So I picked it up. Like, wait, this one's different. So I threw it in the tank. Now I have two of them. And then just last week, my neighbor said, "Hey, there's a giant lizard in my window well. I can't get it out. Can you come get it?" I go in there, and it was like 3 inches long, and it's just a little barred tiger salamander. So I have three of them now. My kids love them. So they eat crickets, and they're kind of fun to watch. They burrow. So
what are they?
Anyway,
what are they attacking
that's
your neighborhood or what?
What's that?
Are they like attacking your neighborhood or what?
No. There's a pond down the street. And so what happens is they stay like tadpoles for a long time until they don't know what triggers it. But for some reason, they decide to come out on land, and then they start growing legs. It's kind of weird. But they come out here, and they're trying to find things to eat. And then they get too swamped with too much water. Like on a rainy day, they'll try to find shelter. So like I said, one came in my window, and the other one came in my right in my garage on the floor. So,
wow.
So I called a local pet shop, and they said, yeah, they actually make good pets, and they're kind of cool to play with, and they get up to like 18 inches long. So,
wow.
But they're pretty cool.
They're very cool.
I thought it was kind of cool because my logo colors are black and yellow, and this is black and yellow. So I thought, hey, this is my new look, my new mascot.
I like it, man. It's really awesome.
So if I have one crawling on my shoulder one day, next time I'm on here, you know what it is. So.
Awesome.
Well, it's not a cat going across the screen. It's a tiger, bar tiger salamander.
That's awesome, man. I can't wait to see them, especially when they're grown up.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, thanks. All right, what do you think? Emails?
Sure.
Ready?
Go for it.
Ron in Arizona says, finally, some privacy. Cool LCD monitor hack keeps your secrets. Basically, you take an LCD monitor part and extract its polarized film. Then the film goes into a pair of old glasses, and voila, you have a privacy monitor that looks normal with your snazzy new glasses and blank to everyone else. I thought this was pretty cool.
Yeah.
I'll pull up the page now. It was on PC World. And basically, you open up your LCD screen, take out some film, put it on glasses, and the screen looks white for everyone else, but you can see what's on there. That's awesome. I love that.
That's pretty cool.
Isn't that cool?
That's awesome.
That should go on hackgadgets.com.
I know. Are you going to do that one, Alan?
You betcha. Yeah, for sure.
All right, cool. That was from Ron. Thanks a lot, Ron. Next email. Okay. Try that again. Next email is from Jason. He says, Steve, I've Googled like crazy for hours to try to find this answer, and I have not been able, so any help would be grateful. I have several PCs in our shop lately that I cannot even get an IP address after virus cleanup. The NIC will just sit there acquiring an IP address, and it never will. Any ideas? Here's what I've done. Combo Fix, Malwarebytes, SuperNI Spyware, Kaspersky, TDSS, ESET NOD32 virus scan, hijack this, reset the host file, WinSock and TCP/IP stack, uninstalled and installed the network card driver, installed a new network card and driver, system file check /scan now or SFC/scan now, repaired registry permissions. After all that, I'm not sure how to fix this problem. I don't want to wipe out and reload them if I don't have to. The computers work great except for the network IP issue. I have four of them sitting here right now with the same problem. Two XP machines, one Vista, and one Win7 machine. Thanks for the help in advance, Jason. Jason, first of all, Definitely, if you haven't done it yet, post that in the PodNuts forums, because that's the best place to ask questions like this. You'll get fast answers, and you'll probably get it answered quick. I have no idea what the answer is to that problem, but maybe you other guys do. Jeremy or Alan, you have any clue what's going on with that machine?
Oh, what I would do is do try a guest account. If it works there, then it's a problem with that user account. And then you can do the same thing. Just copy everything over from that user account to the new user account. And then, just verify all the programs that they use working okay. And that would be the simplest thing.
Great suggestion. That's
what I've been doing. I think one of the guys on the PodNuts show a while back recommended something like that. Had an issue, try opening a guest account or creating a new account. And I've been doing that. And then the other one is the great tip that I always think of is what you said, Steve, about, hey, just go back and do system restore. And I've had no problems, especially with recently installed malware. It's a 5-second fix. The customer's happy. And I've basically made $80 in 5 minutes.
And hey, I'm glad there's another fan out there. I used to get criticism for that. Like it's cheating or something. I'm like, come on. It's cheating.
Well, XP didn't work so well in. But Vista and 7, it's perfect. It works great. Probably, I would say 90% of the time. All the things he did, it sounds like the same thing I would have done. I tried all those things. And the other thing I was thinking about too, and when I had this issue with IE and Firefox, but Chrome being okay and Safari not being okay with the pictures, I called up Doug, and that's one thing we've been doing too. It's kind of cool is we've been able to ask each other questions if we're stuck on something. It's kind of nice to have that collaboration. But he said he had no idea either on what to do. And he said, sometimes, you just got to call it quits on something and just call it what it is. And if you got to nuke and pave. Yeah. But, that's why for me, when I first started, I would do a lot of nuke and paves back when I was $25 an hour. But now I'm getting to the point to where my goal is to keep it so I don't have to nuke and pave. And now that I've heard that tip here a while back about creating another user account and moving everything over, that saves me a lot of nuke and paves. I probably haven't had to do a nuke and pave in a long time because of that.
Wow. Good job. You know, you brought me back. I used to talk about that way, way back. I know I've mentioned that because I've done it in my shop. I'm getting to the point where I even forget what I said. Alan, you got anything else on this? Maybe that this guy could try. Who is it? Jason? Jason could try.
I think Jeremy, covered it pretty good there.
Cool. All right. Next email. Thank you, Jason, for that. Is from Mark. Says, hi, I have a Drobo RAID, which has worked great for 3 years. I have drive repair and data rescue from ProSoft as a tool to help if I have any problems. Will they help me with any problems with Drobo drives? Any other advice from Mark? So he has a Drobo RAID, which has worked great for 3 years. I have drive repair and data rescue from ProSoft as a tool to help if I have any problems. I have no clue on that one either. I never used a Drobo drive. Again, another Drobo's question for the PodNuts forums.
Yeah, I agree. Drobo actually has a really great support. I mean, I would give the Drobo a call and see if you need any support on those. They're pretty nice. I mean, I can't afford Drobo, but they're really nice.
Are they?
They're a great product. They're pretty much dummy proof. You pop a drive in and then it's almost like a JBOD, just adds it to the pool and then you map it. It's a great product, but it's very expensive. It's very expensive because it's a great product.
I see. Good input. Anything on this one, Alan?
Not really an expert in that field, so I'll pass on this one.
Okay. I will keep asking Alan, but a little disclaimer is, and he said this at the beginning, I'm not a computer tech, so I don't have much to contribute, but I'm just going to throw it his way anyway. But just know that Alan is pretty damn bright in what he does, but he's not a tech.
Agreed.
He's not a tech. So, I mean,
that's right.
A tech like us. So anyway, actually not even me anymore. I'm sure Alan knows more than me. All right. This is from Sam. He says, hey, Steve, I have a disk image on my laptop hard drive that I made with CloneZilla saved on an external hard drive. I would like to know if it's safe to defragment the image and if it would still be usable to restore from afterward. Also, does it make a difference if it only gets halfway through the defragging process and then it is stopped? Thanks. Keep up the great work. From Sam. All right. So there's a disk image and laptop he made with CloneZilla saved on an external hard drive. I would like to know if it's safe to defragment the image. Still be usable. I wouldn't even try that, man. I mean,
agreed.
Yeah. Don't mess with an image because an image is an exact duplicate of an original. And I would not even try that. There's no reason to really. So, let's see. Yeah, you don't think so either, Jeremy?
No, I totally agree. Yeah, no, I wouldn't either. I'm like you. If you're making an image for the backup for if you screw it up, that's kind of what the main whole point is. And if you need to defragment it, I would defragment before you make the image, and that would resolve that issue.
Okay, cool. All right, next email. Unless Alan, just chime in if you have anything to say on these emails. I mean, I have two more. I'll try to knock them all out this week. Actually, so let's do it right now. James says, Steve, glad you are back. I don't know what I would do if I had to go back to listening to the radio when I drive around. He's referring to the month off I took to rejuvenate myself, my podcasting vacation. And I'm happy to be back. Now that I'm back in the groove, I'm really feeling strong. So let's keep it going. Anyway, he says, anyway, I'm doing a lot of cell phone repairs for Android and iPhone lately, and I ordered in these shirts for my friends to wear around when they go out. So far, they're a big hit. I have an Epic Points system, which is a whole other story I might have to write about later, set up so you can earn these t-shirts for free just by sending me customers and doing other little things like referring people to like my Facebook page. But a lot of people are insisting they just want to pay cash for the t-shirts. So it makes me think they really like them. It kind of plays off your idea of wearing the "No, I won't fix your computer" t-shirt out to bars and whatnot. And no, I do not wear this shirt when I'm doing house calls. Keep up the great work. I haven't missed a show in 2 years now. Wow. Thanks, James. And I don't
Me
know.
Either.
Yeah. Sweet. Thank you, guys. And I don't know where I'd be without you. Well, that's very nice of you to say. And I always throw it right back at you guys, because if you guys didn't come on the show and give the content, there would be no content. So it also says, quick question, not to be read on the show. So we're going to save that for me after the show. Anyway, let me show you the t-shirt he's talking about here, because he says he's talking about these t-shirts that are a hit, and I want to show you what the t-shirt is and what it says. T-shirt says, when I get drunk and I break my iPhone, or when I get drunk and break my phone, I get it fixed at Epic Services.
So, nice.
Very cool. Epic PC Services. And he's got his phone number up there. So that is a cool shirt. That is a cool shirt. And it probably is applicable to many people. So nice one. Thanks, James. I will read the rest of that email after the show. Next email is from, actually, there's only one more. It's from Lisa. She had a contest last week on Podnuts Daily to give away a free copy of her book. There was a winner, and I want to announce the winner. And it is, once I could find it. Winner for the show. Here we go. So the winner is... Where is it? I cannot
just
find
insert
it.
Jeremy Lane with Fastlane Technologies, and that'll be good.
Thanks for covering me on that. I still can't find it. Okay, here it is. Sorry, guys. The winner was Rob in Omaha, Nebraska. His site is nepcrepair.net. nepcrepair.net. Rob in Omaha, Nebraska. Check it out. Congratulate him. Good job. Thank you, Lisa, for having the contest. Something I got to do more of. I don't do any of that fun stuff. So that's it for the emails for this week. If anybody wants to send us an email, just send them to mail@podnuts.com. Super easy. If you want to send us a voicemail, which we need more voicemails. I like playing voicemails. It's fun. Just pick up your phone and call 7076-PODNUT. 7076-PODNUT will get you here. If you guys haven't checked out the latest page at podnuts.com/deals, check it out. There's two things there. First of all, there's a discount on every Podnuts product and other product that I like to promote personally, because I think it's good stuff and it's contributors to the community. You're going to get like around 10% usually on all this stuff. You get it only at podnuts.com/deals. Go there often, see what the latest deals are. But also on that page is something that it's a little shabby right now, the form to sign up for it, but I'll have it looking more polished later. But anyway, get on it. It's called the Podnuts Hot List. And it's basically my way of getting out to you guys maybe on a weekly basis or so, I would say. Any Podnuts news, any new Podnuts deals. Like if I'm going to be trying to get exclusive deals with companies saying, look, I have people that listen to the podcast about computer repair and their techs and they want good deals. So I'm going to try to get you guys deals from different places, maybe Malwarebytes, spyware companies, software companies, different companies, get good deals on the stuff that I know you guys are using. And I'll put it up on that page. But if you want the exclusive stuff, sign up on the email list and I'll send you constant emails. Well, not constant. I don't want to make it seem like I'm hounding you. What I meant to say was,
creeper.
Telling you, there's been so many times that where I don't have a central location to make an announcement. And I've been using Twitter, but not everybody's on Twitter. I Google Plus it, but not everybody's on Google Plus. email is like the universal, everybody has one type of deal. So when I make an announcement on Podnuts, like if we're rescheduling a show or something's changing, I want to be able to announce it to you guys. That's what the Podnuts hot list is, that and deals. So get on that. Just name an email address. It's easy to sign up, and that'll be awesome. All right, so we're going to end off the show. Let me go around and just talk to the guys real quick. Jeremy, where can people find you, and any last comments you have?
FastlanePC.com is my website. Support at FastlanePC.com if you need help. I'm available on Google Plus, which has exploded since the last podcast. And then that'd be fine. Facebook, I've got on there too. So
awesome.
That's it. One little thing I wanted to plug. I always like to plug in a game I'm playing. Skyrim. Been playing that. Loving it. Got about 80 hours in on it.
Nice.
The one thing I did try, and I was going to use as a tip, but it was kind of debating, was my wife let me buy an SSD. I threw it on there just to see. A little 64 gig.
Mm-hmm.
I intended to put it on my netbook, but I thought, I'll see how fast this thing is. And I don't think on gaming, it's the load times are any faster than my Velociraptor. I got a 300 gig, 10,000 RPM Velociraptor, and
okay.
I don't really see performance increase. So I threw it in my netbook. My netbook's actually doing a lot better. I got about an hour more of my battery life.
Really?
Yeah. So I had 8 hours, now I'm getting 9 on my netbook.
How's
and
the speeds?
So it really does help.
Speeds?
Speeds are fine. Of course, I'm getting a Windows score of 2.6 or something like that because of the Atom processor. So everything on there is like a 2.6, 3.4, and then you look at my solid state hard drives. This hard drive, primary hard drive, 7.7.
Oh, so that sucks.
I thought, you know, but my wife said, you know, I thought I can. She said I can get this for myself for the business for my computer for my netbook because I use it for the business, but. I typically do every other year, I'll do a major upgrade, but my computer has been rock solid. I'm running a Core i7-920 overclocked on water cooled at 4 gigahertz.
Wow.
I've got 12 gig of RAM and I've got a terabyte storage drive for data. And it's a Caviar Black. It's a great drive.
Man.
I mean, everything in it is fine. I don't need anything right now. So I think what I might do is I might get an SSD to throw in there, or maybe I'll get put my video card in SLI or something. I don't know. I don't want to do this year. I need to figure out something. Hey, that's a good idea. Anybody out there wants to give me some great ideas to throw my gaming rig, make it any faster, that can blow my money on this, that'd be awesome. Right now I'm running a EVGA. I'm a big EVGA fan. So I'm running an EVGA.
Oops. We lost Jeremy. I wonder if he was on his gaming rig. We lost you for a second there. You said EVGA what?
Oh, EVGA 590, or excuse me, 560 Ti superclocked for my video card.
Okay.
So I'm thinking about maybe getting another one of those and putting in an SLI for gaming. But I mean, right now it runs Skyrim sweet. So I've got no problems on my system. But anyways, it'd be kind of fun to hear back feedback on that.
Yeah. To talk to Jeremy, let him know what he should get. We have some suggestions in the chat room. Are you logged in the chat room, Jeremy?
No, it distracts me. I'll lose my concentration. It's bad enough it is with just the video up.
actually, Jason likes your GTX 580 3 gigabytes for the win.
Nice.
Oh wait, is that what you said you had, or is that his recommendation?
No, I'm running a 560 Ti superclock. I'm using that. But like I said, I did look at doing maybe like a 590. But realistically, if I go SLI, I'll probably get similar performance with another 560 superclock Ti. Like I said, I'm just debating on what I should blow my money on this year. So anybody who wants to help people spend money, that'd be awesome.
Okay. Well, definitely don't spend it on global IT. Alan, thanks for coming on and exposing the scammers. Tell people where they can find you, like if you want to plug your site and anything else you want to say before we end off.
Yeah, for sure. If you have any Hacked Gadgets is basically a lot of electronic projects and you know, everything in between, electronics and scamming. So if anybody has any projects they would like to have featured on Hacked Gadgets, they can send me an email at Alan, A-L-A-N, at hackedgadgets.com. And the other thing I'd like to mention is, check out my business. It's reactivelighting.com. And what that is that's interactive LED stair lighting. It sees you coming and turns on the lights on your stairs with a nice pattern. So if you're interested in some cool lighting, check that out.
Damn, you're into some cool stuff. That's awesome. I didn't know the stairs did that.
You betcha.
Hey, I used to hack, Ben Heckendorn? Do you ever hear
him?
Oh,
yeah, for sure. Yeah.
I bought his book and I started hacking NES machines and I started building a bunch of handheld NES machines. And I actually tried to start a business doing it, building. That's the reason why I built my CNC machine, to crank out templates for these things. And it was just too much work. I said, forget it. But it's such cool stuff. I love that stuff. It's a great site.
Have you seen his new shop bot? He has the new CNC. It's pretty fantastic.
Really?
Yeah,
no, I'm afraid to go back there and look at his stuff, because then it would probably make me want to get into it, and I don't have that time anymore.
Yeah.
Hey, thanks for coming on, though. Appreciate it.
No problem. Thank you for having me.
Sure. And thank you, everybody, who is watching live, downloading, uploading, sideloading, streaming, Rokuing, whatever you're doing. Thank you for listening to the show, and see you next time. Music for Podnuts Daily brought to you by Evan King at purevolume.com/EvanKing.